little Vance Choi to get things going. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you had a great meal. Hope you enjoyed some delicious turkey. And hopefully, you know, the current climate of things, hopefully there was no family fights or arguing at the dinner table. Again, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Kevin Powell alongside the great Domati Pongo.
What's up, Domati? What's going on, Kev?
Not a whole lot. And, you know, I feel like, and I don't mean to make this any sort of self-serving type show, but you and I have gotten to know each other. How long have you been at the station now?
Since May.
May. So I figured we'd start the show maybe with a little, like, get to know each other, because this is the first show we've ever done together.
That's true.
We've kind of gotten to know each other. You know, you work in the newsroom. I work in the sports department. So Domati Pongo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and like interview you right now. So I'm going to
introduce
Domati to the world.
Yes.
Although you've been on here for a while now, and I know you've been on with Cochran and sort of done this already. But, okay, Domati Pongo. How old is Domati Pongo?
28.
28. I'm 28 as well.
Wait a minute. I should have given my Hollywood age. I'm 25. You're 28 too.
28 too, man.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
First of all, because we were kind of chit-chatting, just making small talk in the green room, and I guess this is for what you get for working with Ro Khan, which I do sports for Ro, and every time there's something like, if we're talking before the show or even after and we're kind of like laughing and all kind of having fun, he's like, save it for the air. Save it for the air.
Right,
so you and I were starting to like have a conversation about our Thanksgiving, and I'm like, you know what?
First thing Kevin says, save it for the air.
Save it for the air. And I don't mean to be disrespectful and cut you off, but it's like, okay, let's save it for the air.
No, that's what it does. So you get your organic stuff on the air.
Exactly. So Domati Pongo, 28 years old. He's been at the station now for about half a year or so. Where was Domati Pongo before WGN?
I was at WVON.
Okay.
Urban talk station, talked a lot of politics. I was there for about 4 years, news director there. It was a good time. It was a good time. And I actually got a chance to engage with WGN on a panel representing WVON, which is kind of interesting. And we just had a great rapport. And over time, got a chance to meet Steph and all the folks here.
Yeah.
It's just been an I feel like I've been here longer.
Yeah, it feels like that way, too. That's a good thing, Domati. I think you're making an impact around here. Everybody loves Domati Pongo. And I will say, my current power rankings of great radio names, Domati Pongo is right at the top of the list.
I don't know. Violetta Project Medic is very close.
Violetta has a very strong name, although it can be difficult because you just said it's Padre Medic.
Podramatic. What did I say?
I think you said podramatic.
It's problematic.
Violetta's problematic.
She's probably, if she's listening, I think she might agree with you, Ryan. Right? That's Ryan Burrow up in the newsroom. Happy Thanksgiving, Ryan Burrow.
You too.
How'd you get stuck with this shift?
Oh, you know, there are only so many straws, and I keep drawing the short one.
Ryan?
Ryan is the hard. I think you're going to say exactly what I was going to say. Ryan is the hardest working man in radio.
He is, dude. He's the go-getter around here. He's sending emails out all hours of the day, no matter what, keeping everybody in the newsroom and the entire station up to date on what's going on in the world.
Absolutely, man. Ryan, did you get a chance to get some turkey today, at least?
I did, twice.
Twice? Okay.
Yeah, that's how I roll. I work so hard, I get two turkeys.
What's Ryan Burrow's day like on Thanksgiving? You said two turkeys. Was that at one meal or did you go to two separate locations?
No, once there and once here.
Got it.
Started the day out at Cabela's interviewing people who were shopping this morning, and I could not believe how many people wake up and get to Cabela's at 8 in the morning.
Yeah. Wow, that seems late, actually, for Black Friday.
Well, it's Thursday.
Oh, 8 in the morning today?
They opened up. They were one of the few retailers that opened up today. Kmart was another one. Bass Pro Shop was another one. But as I'm interviewing these people, these aren't your typical, like, standout outside of a Best Buy kind of people. A lot of these guys are hunters trying to get out of the house, trying to pick up some extra gear before they head out to the field.
Right,
they're going to do dinner with their family, then they're going to head out to Wisconsin or downstate or what have you. And so it was a little different than interviewing the bros who stand outside of GameStop later in the day.
Right. Yeah, right. Domati, are you a Black Friday guy or Cyber
not
Monday?
At all.
No.
Not at all. I'm not festive at all, and I'm very bad at bargain hunting. Like, I need to, like, I wish I was better at clipping coupons, searching, scouring the internet. But I do know that around January, you get that stuff on clearance because, you know, a lot of folks kind of miss those sales.
So if you see something you like, you're like, I'm just buying it now. I'm not going to wait around for some sale or...
I'm not really waiting around for a sale. I may Google it while I'm standing right there to see if I can get a deal, if there's a coupon on that item or if some location close by has it. Otherwise, and then what do we need? Like, I was watching this documentary, The Minimalist.
Yeah.
It's a little redundant because after the first 30 minutes, you get it. But basically, they talk about how we have all of this stuff. We accumulate all of this stuff that we don't necessarily need. Or you get it for other people. Like, I have a really big apartment. But I really, you know, they show a heat sensor map of where people are in their homes. And we use was about 40%.
Right. The couch, the kitchen, and your bed, right?
There you go. Yeah. That's it. And me, the kitchen, barely. I mean, come on. I bring all, you know, I'm eating cereal. Like, I'm a bachelor. You know, I'm not cooking.
Yeah.
I don't really shop much.
I recently moved, and man, I'm digging stuff out of my like old room, and I'm like, what? Why? What is this?
What is this?
I'm like, Kevin, how do you like, it felt so good to get rid of stuff.
Exactly.
Like, just getting rid of stuff. But there also is weird. There's weird stuff where you're like, I can't throw this out, but I don't need it. There is like a gray area when you are getting rid of all the crap that you found and like have hoarded in your closet. I found stuff that had been in my closet for like 5-6 years. but it was also stuff that I was like, okay, well, I don't want to toss this out. It's sentimental, but it's also like, man, it probably would be something better where you could like donate it, where it could go to use for someone. But I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but like, it's just stuff that, man, I don't want to throw this out, but
you know what?
So I just made a box, and it's just a junk. Like, I just threw
a junk box.
Just threw a bunch of stuff in there, and I'm like, I don't know. I'll just box this thing up, tape it up, and I'll just like put it in the garage. And if I need something, I'll just go scour through there.
So let's get to know you a little bit. How long have you been at WG? Well, I'm sure everyone knows Kevin Powell at this point, but I want to get to know you a little better.
Yeah, well, I've been at GN now for almost 6 years. And again, to start the show, I said, told Domati that I was going to interview him just to get to know him with you listeners. So Domati's doing the whole interview thing with me right now. I started here basically right after college as an intern slash producer. I was producing sports and all this stuff. Then I became the producer of the Steve Cochran Show in the morning. So that was amazing for about 2.5 years. Steve and that whole crew was like family to me. And then I transferred over to the Rokan Show and now do sports for Ro, and I cover baseball and do a little football here and there. So I love it, man. And we were talking about this before. Like, if management asks you to work, you don't even look at the calendar. You don't look at the time. You don't look at the date, because we all know how blessed. And I guess here's my cheesy Thanksgiving, what I'm thankful for. And it is here. And you've heard it probably all day on the station that everybody says, talks about how thankful they are to work at WGN, because it is the greatest radio station in the world.
No, it truly is. I can't lie. When I can't tell you how many times I've said yes before I checked, and I'm like, wait a minute. No, wait, nope.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually not free. I'll make myself free. I'll make it work.
Exactly. That's the right mindset.
Yes, yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. It really is. Listen, pretty soon, I have a solution for you, by the way.
Okay.
If you have a box of things, I'm going to let you know a place where you can take them to people who might need them.
Beautiful.
Box of clothes, box of old coats, gloves, hats, all that good stuff.
I love that.
Talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, and I do want to do something as well. Maybe we'll do this towards the end of the show. Maybe around 10:45 if you're still listening. If you're driving around, please drive safe tonight. I want to do this, and I just mentioned, I work with Steve and I work with Ro, and everybody at this radio station does so many amazing charitable stuff, you know, from donating, from, you know, Ro's gonna have Toys for Tots on Friday, where right here on Pioneer Court outside our showcase studio, we're actually it'll be Toys for Tots. You can swing by Pioneer Court, drop off some stuff. It's gonna be a whole bunch of fun out here. So like, Cochran's so involved with so many things, and the radio station is, and this time of year, and everybody should, all year long, but I know people are busy. Everybody should give and try to give back. But this time of year especially, everyone just has that sort of, you know, that little ticker goes off and you're like, okay, it's time to give back. Like, this is a great time of the year.
Yeah.
So what I want to do, and because when I was producing for Steve, we would always get pitches, whether I would get emails or people would just call in during the show or people text in. Like, they want to get their word out about a certain cause, whether it's raising money for an individual, for a group effort. And it's tough because you want to give attention to these charities,
right?
And you want to highlight them and do all you can. But if we actually did do that for every pitch our way, like, all of our shows would just be talking charities, because there's so many great things out there.
Yeah.
So what I want to do, about, maybe we'll do this towards the end of the show, Domati, if you're cool with it. I'm just gonna let anyone and anybody, if you have something to plug, are you involved with any sort of charitable effort this holiday season? Whatever it may be, you could call in, try to keep it maybe 60 seconds, give us like a website, give us the information, give us the gist of it, and hopefully we can just run through a whole bunch of them. And I know that might not do justice for some of them, because there is a lot to talk about, but I do just want to give everybody a platform. That's what we're here for at WGN. Let's give everybody a platform. If you have something, anything, about 10:45, just call in 312-981-7200. The great Shantae is on the other side of the glass, working her butt off on Thanksgiving. We appreciate her help. She'll answer the call. You could also text 312-981-7200. we'll get the message out there. And like I said, I know we might not do full justice some of these charities, Doma T, because there's a lot going on with some of them. But hey, you've got two hours
to come up with a good 60 seconds.
Give us an elevator pitch on your charity.
It's like speed dating.
It's the speed dating
of charity radio giving. Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Speed dating.
Let's do it. And you're the dating expert, by the way.
Oh, I don't know.
We've got to talk about that at some point, too.
We're two single guys, Doma T, so... I don't know if I could be considered a dating expert by any means. If you're single, I don't know if you could be a dating expert. But we'll dive into that a little bit too. And like I said off the top, Doma T and I just kind of talked about each other a little bit. Weren't trying to be self-serving by any means. We're just kind of getting to know each other. Again, not trying to be self-serving. My sister's getting married Saturday.
Is she? Yeah,
she's getting married, and I haven't had to do much, but I've just been watching from afar. You know, she had the rehearsal dinner last night, which was great. It was amazing. Just me and my two brothers had to give a little speech. That's all we really had to do. I've just kind of been watching my sister and my mom and my dad and, like, them plan this wedding. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, mother of God.
Does it make you nervous?
It makes you a little nervous, but I just feel bad for them. It's so much work. So there's, and Shante, I'm going to forward you this link. Mike Leach, and I know you're not a sports guy, right? Like, at all.
Not at all.
Okay. I do sports for Roe. I love sports. It's a big part of my life. There's a football coach. His name's Mike Leach. And Roe and Hannah played this yesterday. And it's a reporter asked him if he had any advice or what his thoughts were about a reporter had just gotten engaged or was about to get married. Yeah. And he asked for,
some advice.
Some advice.
Some marital advice.
Essentially. And Mike Leach, if you know anything about him, he's an interesting character. he's a funny, weird dude, but he gets wins for programs. So... I'm going to get to that. I promise you, you're going to enjoy about this 2-minute rant from Mike Leach, the head coach at Washington State. And I just loved it because I've been watching like how wedding planning goes down, Doma T. So this is so fitting. I played it. I showed my sister at this morning, and she was laughing, because it's like she's kind of stressed about
the wedding. It's exactly how it is.
Yeah, it's like it's just perfect. So we're going to get to that. I promise you, you do not want to miss that. There it is. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. That is my favorite morning news team, by the way.
They're the best.
Our very own WG.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Got to watch it. That's Doma T. Pongo. I'm Kevin Powell. By the way, I mentioned that your name in my current radio name power rankings is probably near the top, maybe top five. Carl Amari, who was on right before us, that's a hell of a name, too.
That is a hell of a name.
Do you like, I always think, and I don't mean this disrespectful to Carl by any means, but I always think of Calamari.
I never thought of
it. So here's the burning question. Do you prefer grilled or fried calamari, Doma T?
Fried.
Fried, okay.
Easily. What about you?
I'm with you, but I think that's, like, if you get grilled calamari done right, it is so good, man.
Yeah.
Sprinkle a little lemon on top.
I haven't, because if they don't do it right, it's too chewy.
Exactly right.
And
it's risky.
My favorite appetizer.
It's a risky move.
Yeah, yeah.
Had some calamari last night. Okay, before the break, I teased this, and it's Mike Leach, the head football coach at Washington State University. And I just got a kick out of it because I've been watching my sister and mom plan their wedding, which is this week, for the past 11 months essentially. And I think he's right. I think he's spot on. This is Mike Leach, the head coach of Washington State University, when asked for some advice about, how wedding planning is going to go.
The women lose their mind. Your fiance is going to lose her mind. Your mother-in-law is going to lose her mind. Your mom is going to lose her mind. Several of your sisters and female relatives are going to lose their mind. And that they're going to barrage you with constant questions. What should we wear? And then, which, of course, my answer was, I don't care. And then what color should the invitations be? I don't care. What should we have for dessert? I don't care. Should we seat this way or that way? I don't care. But see, I don't care is not satisfactory at all. And you're going to get caught in a catch-22, and I'm certain that you already have. And that catch-22 is, well, I want you to be a part of this too. So what color invitations? All right, the blue ones. Well, I kind of like the tan ones. Okay, the tan ones then. Oh, you're just saying that because you want this over with. You're not even thinking about it, which is, of course, true. What do you want for dessert? I was thinking of strawberry shortcake. Oh, okay. Yeah, strawberry shortcake would be good. Well, what about the blueberry pie? Well, I like the blueberry pie. We could have the blueberry pie. Well, I thought you said you wanted the strawberry shortcake. And it's just going to go back and forth, and they're going to play keep away from you until after you're married. There's no answer you can give that is going to be satisfactory or correct. And if you successfully please a few of them, the others will still be, oh, well, I just don't feel like he's that interested. Yeah, okay, so you need to work late, go in the back room and read a lot of books, take the groomsmen out so you make sure that they march in just right and they know exactly, you know, these swell outfits that you picked out or whatever, however you're doing it. And in the end, you'll wish you eloped. You need to find excuses that they'll buy to be as far out of harm's way as you possibly can.
And that, my friends, is Marriage 101 in 2 minutes.
That's Mike Leach, the head football coach at Washington State, on marriage and wedding planning and all that. Domati and I are a couple of single guys. So maybe that's part of the reason, Domati. We look ahead and we see that in our future. Like, if we do pop a question, we know that whole mind games is going to go down for like a year and change of planning a wedding.
Oh, for sure. But at his age, I'm surprised he hasn't figured out that there's a way to properly feign interest and give your wife what she wants. I mean, you know,
he should know it by now.
Yes, yes. This wonderful woman I'm dating at the moment switches her wigs every other day. Like, she's
okay.
Different hair. Which one should I wear today? Which one should... You know what? I really like when you wear the straight. You just saying that. No, because it's wintertime, and it covers the nape of your neck, which looks good under your stock, your scully cap, and it's cold outside. You just make stuff up. You sound interesting.
But see, you're right. Like, you do have to have the reasoning.
You got to have the reasoning.
They don't want these, like, succinct, very, like, just basic answers. Like, oh, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
And you didn't even really look.
You have to. The key to relationships, people, is not trusting your instincts for men. Like, you got to lean into, you know, into showing some interest and whatnot. Which, by the way, we are not relationship experts at all. But I always want to ask you this seriously, though, Kevin. I hear the spots.
Yep. It's just Lunch Chicago.
Yes. And do you... How many dates have you gone on?
Been on a few from It's Just Lunch.
And what is it like?
So It's Just Lunch is, it really is a great service. I mean, honestly, the nice thing about It's Just Lunch, and I'm not just giving a sales pitch right now, but it's the you know, some people, like, it's a blind date essentially, but they make it about as easy as you possibly could imagine a blind date being, meaning they set up the time, they set up, like, the restaurants are in with them, like, they know. So when you check in at a restaurant, they know, okay, this is It's Just Lunch. So, like, everybody's prepared. They sit you down. It's everybody's on the same page, which I like. You know what I mean? It's not some blind date that your sister's friend set up with her brother's friend and you guys will be perfect together. It's not something like that. You know, they are, like, they know what they're doing. They set it all up for you, and they've gone fine. I mean, nothing's completely clicked yet, you know, but it's...
And I asked this because as we're talking about dating and wedding and marriage and relationships.
Yeah, no.
So what is the key to dating successfully? If you have...
I guess that also depends on what your intentions are.
So,
like, what does dating mean to you? Is dating like dating around? Or is dating like dating to find someone you want to spend the rest of your life with?
Right.
Or
right.
Is dating just some fun for you? Like, some people just want a companion. They don't even want marriage.
So let's get into Kevin Powell's business.
Oh,
so what kind of dating are you doing right now?
I feel like I'm in, like, the middle, you know?
Yeah, in the
where
middle.
Where it's like, you know, you sit down and you're like, yeah, I can totally see myself, like, having a wife and kids. But there's also, like, I'm 28. Let's wait a little bit, you
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm feeling it out. I'm not, like, in a rush. Are you, Domati? You're 28. You said you are sort of seeing someone right now.
Yes, okay. I am. But to be honest, I think most men are like that. I think you're not hit with the marriage bug until you find a woman that you could see yourself
right
being, you know, versus a lot of, you know, there's,
like, some people just get married because it's the thing to do, right?
It's
like
the
they
thing
go to
do,
college, they work, they're single for a couple years out of college, and they find someone. Oh, okay, they get married, They have a few kids. They retire. Like, it's all part of the script. Some people have a script and a plan put in place at a very young age.
Wait a minute. When am I supposed to retire? I'm already married with the kids.
No, I'm saying that's down the road.
Okay. All right. By the way, for the record,
yeah,
I was
Brian's married with kids, so yeah. Let's
yeah, you
got to
jump in
this
one. Yeah.
I was married at 24 and had kid by 28, so there you go.
You're an early bloomer. Now, tell me this, Ryan. Was your plan to be married by 24, or did you meet your wife and say, you know what, I didn't think I would be married this young, but I can see it happening now?
Yeah, I mean, there was a wave of people when they got out of college who got married. So I've got friends who were married ahead of us. But I was living in Memphis at the time, and she was finishing up grad school in Indiana. And I'm like, you know, I got to lock this thing down, man. I can't let this thing get away from me.
Okay, see,
I got to bring her to Memphis, and we'll go from there.
That's when you know, right? Like, if you can't even envision yourself without her, like you just said, you had to lock it all up, right?
Yeah. You found a good one, you had to lock it down.
Can't let that one run away.
There you go.
That's a beautiful thing.
I like that, Ryan Burrow. Ryan Burrow's the man up in the newsroom. This has been Dating 101 with Domati Pongo and Kevin Powell. What happened there? There was like audio coming on. I screwed up again and didn't have Esmeralda. Esmeralda, have you slept over the past 48 hours?
I think I slept maybe a total of 6 hours.
That's impressive.
In chunks.
Because Esmeralda was hosting with John Hansen earlier today from what, like noon or 1 to 3? Is that
12
right?
To 3.
12 to 3.
Yes.
And you did overnights last night.
Yes. My regular shift.
Esmeralda.
And I'm back for my regular shift.
And if
then
you look at her hand, she's grasping caffeine. I mean, she's got caffeine.
It's my baby.
It's not going within like 4 feet of her.
Yeah, no, I've prepared. I've brought the big guns. I have some Red Bulls.
So I have like nothing to complain about. Like I can't say, oh, I'm a little tired and a little dreary because of all the turkey I ate. Like you have a legitimate excuse.
Yeah. I also, after my shift today,
oh God, what's
5 a.m., I
will
be
home and sleep.
I'll be in for Mary until 9
what?
A.m.
Wow.
So,
and then you're going to hit the stores for Black Friday after that?
Yep.
Just keep it
shopping,
rolling.
Shopping. And then John and I are back in for Patty Friday night, 11 to 2.
All right, this like isn't even like this can't even like be legal how much you're working here.
I was saying earlier I'm Airbnb-ing here at the Tribune.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Hey, there you go. Hopefully they're giving you a good price, a good rate. That's Esmeralda. She's in traffic covering the roads for you as you get home from your Thanksgiving dinner, wherever you may be. Please be driving safe out there. As the roads begin to fill. Is that right, Esmeralda? The road's kind of filling up now as everybody heads home?
Yeah, everyone's ready to leave.
Yeah, I drove in from Park Ridge at my family get-together and just cruised in, but that was around 7, so I figured the rush hours are different on the holidays, right? It's like normally later. Like, this is almost afternoon drive right now.
Right, seven people are still chowing down.
Right.
Right now, everyone's sick of their family, and they're trying to get out.
Right.
And always factor in, too, there are people who are going out shopping now.
That's true.
Oh, that's right.
It's not only people just leaving houses. It's people heading out to Best Buy or Walmart or you name it.
That is very true.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there. Be safe. I'm Kevin Powell. He's Domati Pongo. It's flying by, man. This show was going to fly by, and it has. We started at 9. We go to 11. We've got a very very cool guest in studio on a holiday. This wonderful man, Lyndon B. Jackson, decided to come in studio. And Domati, I'll let you handle this one.
Yeah, so I found out about Lyndon's app, Panacea Financial, and it's actually all about food, so it's perfect to get him in studio. Tell us first what Panacea Financial is, and then tell us a little bit more about yourself, Lyndon B. Jackson.
Okay, I want to start off by saying thank you for having me here.
Thank you, man.
It's great to be here on this holiday. I know everybody's thinking about food, so yes, it's a food-related app. Panacea is essentially a banking app for people with food stamps. And so what that means is it allows people with food stamps to check their balance and transaction history.
Awesome. And one reason I want to bring Lyndon in, too, as we talk about this time of giving, about thinking about how we can support people who are less fortunate, who rely on food stamps, is a good way to do it. Now, what's amazing about Lyndon, he's only 24 years old, and he started this app after winning a competition involved with the Neighborhood Start Fund. What is the Neighborhood Start Fund, and how did you pitch this app to even get this opportunity?
So the Neighborhood Start Fund is an organization that was created by Grammy Award-winning musician Lupe Fiasco from Chicago. Everybody knows him here.
Oh, yeah.
And a woman at Google named Diane Eisner. She's a VP at Google. She started at Waze, and then Waze was acquired by Google. So they're both Henry Crown Fellows. They got together, and they decided they wanted to create a competition that would reach out to people from underrepresented groups, basically. So uh-huh. women, minorities, and things like that. And so that was back in December of 2016. It was a national competition. Out of the thousands that applied, they narrowed it down to 22. And out of the 22, they chose five winners, including myself.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And what I went to one of these meetings. They mm-hmm. they went to underserved communities. Like
they did.
They did one in Lawndale.
Inglewood.
Where are you from? Or where, which one did you go to?
So I'm – well, funny story. Actually, I didn't go to any of those.
Oh, wow.
They did. They had one. Well, I'm from Chatham. I'm from the South Side. I didn't go to any of those meetings that they had. I actually found out about it through Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at someone's Twitter account. They retweeted it, and I decided to just apply because I felt like it would be a good match.
That's amazing.
Lyndon, you're making us look bad, Domit. You're 24 years old, and you're, like, taking over
exactly.
the world. I'm 28. I'm like, man, I haven't done anything with my life.
We're talking about bacon and fine dates.
Lyndon's over here saving the world. Domit and I are eating bacon and trying to find women.
This is terrible. So, I mean, what was it that let you know that Panacea, that people didn't even have the opportunity to check their phones for their balances? Because it seems like a common sense idea. If you get Link, if you get SNAP benefits, if you have an EBT card, you should know what your balance is so mm-hmm. that you can plan out your meals for the next month until your balance is replenished. How did you even know that people didn't have a clear way to look at their balances?
Well, unfortunately, the tech community at large tends to ignore problems that are faced by low-income folks and minorities. And because of my personal experiences growing up on food stamps and different things like that, I knew that this was something that needed to be solved. And that's pretty much, I just based it off of my own personal experience. I personally feel that the best people to solve problems are the people who've either experienced it or that their family or friends have experienced it. And so since this is so personal to me, I just knew it needed to be done and addressed. And I couldn't wait on someone else to start it, so I wanted to start it because I felt like I would be the best person for it.
I love that attitude, man. Don't, like, just wait and just go out and do it, right? Like,
I agree.
Just, and you're a self-motivated man. You didn't need anybody to give you a little push or
nudge,
right? You just tack the thing.
I'm obsessed with it, honestly. I feel like that's just the key. You have to be obsessed with it. Whatever you're doing, you have to be obsessed.
Now, are you a web designer or an app creator?
No, actually, I'm not. So
how does that work? Yeah, you got to break down the process. So you've got people out here who are listening who are have totally different interests, want to start a business idea, but they don't have the skill set to create mm-hmm. apps. How do they do it?
Okay, so from my personal experience, just what I did, this is my little cheat code, I guess, so to speak. After I won the competition, I didn't know anyone in tech. So I didn't have a brother or a sister or a cousin, an aunt or an uncle in tech who I could go to and say, hey, I need you to develop this for me after winning this competition. So what I did, I actually scoured Twitter. So I would go to these pages, basically influencer groups, something like Women of Color in Tech or People of Color in Tech or Women in Tech. And I would look at not their followers, but I would look at who they were following. So I would look at that and then I would scroll down and I would see who had software engineer, developer, Android, or something in their bio that you could read.
Gotcha.
And then from there, I would contact the people and then decide who I felt was the best fit for the company. So I ended up picking up a woman named Estefania Ortiz. She was born and raised in Puerto Rico. She dropped out of high school and then was accepted into Stanford. So she ended up graduating from Stanford with a degree in computer science, and that's who ended up building the app.
Well, every project hits speed bumps, has some issues here and there, stuff that you probably don't even foresee. They just emerge. What have been some of the things that have presented challenges to you, sometimes that have, you know, maybe made things difficult and maybe hasn't been a linear progress? Have you experienced some of those speed bumps or difficulties during this project?
Yes. Well, in the beginning, like I mentioned earlier, I think the biggest problem was finding a developer, because after I won, I was like, okay, who do I get to build this app?
Where do I go?
It's like, and it took.
See, we should have an app to help people that are trying to find someone to help you make an app.
Exactly.
You need an app for everything.
That's a $1 billion idea, folks. You heard it
here
first.
That's the next project.
That's the next one.
We'll work on that.
You know what? Can we take that off? Is it too late? Yeah,
right.
Are we live?
Where's the dumb button? We'll cut it out of the podcast. Don't worry.
Yeah, and actually, even before, so. For people who don't know how building an app works, essentially, before you even need to find a developer, you need to find a designer. Because to put it in simplistic terms, the development or the coding would be the brain or the soul, if you want to look at it that way, and the design would be the body. And so you need to get the design work first. So I had to find a designer first. Once again, starting from scratch, I looked up, I went to Facebook, I went to the U of I's computer science page, because U of I has one of the best computer science programs in the country, mm-hmm. top 10. Found a designer from there, someone who was about to graduate, had her do the design work. So it's essentially, there's always speed bumps and bumps in the road, but it just goes back to being, like I said, about being focused on something or being obsessed with something. Because if you're obsessed with something, you'll find a way, even if there isn't a way. You'll make a way.
I love that. If you take anything from what we've talked about over the past 10 minutes here with Lennon, take that, right? Like, if you're obsessed with something, I know, like, this, my job, I'm obsessed with it. So, like, I totally can relate to that, where you're just like, the idea of failing isn't even in your mind, right?
It's like, not it's, at all. They're only temporary setbacks.
Yeah.
The main thing is, like you said, it's like you love doing your job. And I think that's what everybody needs to know. And to go back to something that Domati said earlier, I think for a lot of people who want to get into tech and they don't necessarily have the finances or they don't know anyone in tech, I would just do what I did. Go to college students who are computer science undergrads, because a lot of them need experience. And so
they're hungry. They would love to dive into anything, right?
They look, the, more than money, they would do it for cheap,
right?
Because more than money, they need the experience. Like you said, they're hungry. And so I would go to students to get some design work done, maybe to get some coding work done. And I would also look for competitions to apply to in order to get money actually to build it, because you need money to build it. It can't just, you know, you can't just do it without that, unless you can find a connection with someone, and then maybe you don't.
I'm getting so excited listening to him, because
I'm just motivated just to, like, to do stuff in life now. Like, Lennon's inspiring me.
Yes, because and then it's, his approach is so, we're talking about us being millennials, it's so millennial, right? Like, Twitter essentially helped him build his app.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Your research is, it shows ingenuity and just drive as far as that goes. Now, you talked about that being, finding those app developers being the biggest pain point.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned about the process and about yourself that has been the biggest, I guess, adage to your character throughout this process?
I learned that. Let me think about that for a second. Well, I learned that one thing, that someone who grew up as an artist, I consider myself to be an artist, sometimes if you make something and it's not perfect, you hate it. You know, if a painter paints something and then there's a mistake, they go, oh, I want to throw it away. I just want to, you know, get it out of my face. You can't let perfect be the enemy of good, because another quote is that perfect is the enemy of progress. And so you have to learn that there are certain things that it may not be perfect, but it's a process, and you need to make this in order to get to that. So I would say, don't get caught up in tiny details, like things that are arbitrary, and just focus on your bigger goal, your bigger vision in order to build that. That's been something for me.
Lyndon B. Jackson, plug the app again and tell us if people want to download the app or learn more about it, where could they go?
So it's in the Google Play Store right now. It's only on Android. We're coming on iOS soon, but it's Panacea. That's Panacea. Panacea, Panacea. And you can find us online at panacea-company.com.
Lyndon B. Jackson, man, it's a pleasure talking to you. We really appreciate you coming in studio late on a holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Lyndon, and we really appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Domati Pongo. That is Kevin Powell. More in a moment.
What's the best restaurant you've been to lately?
The best I've been to, I like Two Fish on 47th Street.
What is it called?
Two Fish.
Two Fish.
And they were actually on Chicago's Best. And if you heard me say that's beautiful, it was like I didn't even know the mic was on, because I was thinking in the back of my mind about how good Two Fish is. So Two Fish, essentially, I have a really strange eating process.
What do they serve there?
They serve, it's all fish. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
It's all fish. So it's crab. It's calamari, our favorite.
Okay.
They've got a ton of stuff. So this is how it works. You go in and they ask you if you need gloves or not. Why? Because they have this food that they serve in a big saran wrap, like plastic, see-through bag.
I know what you mean. And where's it at again?
On 47th, and I want to say
this
King
sounds
Drive.
Like a place Brian Altimer, who produces one of the producers on Roe Show in the afternoon, he keeps telling me about this place.
Oh, it's amazing.
Great seafood. It comes in the bag. So maybe
it comes in the bag, yes. And it's all of the season. You pick what kind of season you got. One of my favorite is something called Three the Shy Way. And it's spicy. Yeah, they tell you how spicy you want it. Do you want it, you know, burn my mouth off spicy? How do you want it? I love my stuff super spicy. They shake it up in this bag. You need gloves just to eat it. And you basically just go to town with your bare hands.
I love
it's disgusting. It's messy.
Yeah, but it's
it
delicious.
It is amazing. Disgusting but delicious, man. It is amazing.
I love it.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Well, Chicago's yes. best is going to run through the most requested restaurants. I went to Zia's last night in Edison Park. You ever been up there?
No,
you
I haven't.
Hang out in Edison Park. Some real strong Italian food. And I recently went to Carnival, which I know a lot of people may know just from driving along the highway right on the, like, basically West Loop, Fulton Market area. Food's really good. The atmosphere is incredible, though. It's just an unbelievable, unique place. A lot of fun. Have you, do you need like your Thanksgiving nap yet? Or did you get a Thanksgiving nap in yet from your, after your massive holiday meal?
You know, I feel like we're doing a commercial for how great we love the company, but to be honest, you know, once you start going, you just wake up, like, you know, so I didn't nap all day. But then again, I didn't start my day until 12 noon.
Yeah.
So, right? You know, when I don't have to work in the mornings, you know, I sleep in. But no, I mean, you get your second wind when you start doing what you like to do. You know, that turkey kind of put me to sleep before I got here. Kevin, before we started the show, was running around trying to get some coffee.
So here's the thing. Like, that's funny you bring that up because I was like, I'm going to need some coffee. And so I run across the street to a coffee shop. I'm not going to throw them under the bus, but like a lot of places that are open right now are so understaffed. It's like they're doing themselves no favors. Cause I went to one place and the service was horrible because it was completely undermanned and overwhelmed because we're on Michigan Avenue. There's a lot of people, you know, shopping right now or having fun on the holiday or whatever. And I go in there. So I'm like, okay, I got like 15 minutes till the show. I can't look bad for, you know, in front of Domati. I can't be late to this. Of course, you know, I got here like at 7 to start prepping and whatnot. So I run over there. I'm like, okay, I can't wait anymore. The service was bad. The line was long. So I booked it over to a retail store.
Mm-hmm.
Was just going to get some iced coffee. Line was long. There was like one register open and there was like 20 people in line. So I had to abort mission, Domati, and I had to like run back over here.
No, it's ridiculous. Don't be open on the holidays if you can't stay open on
you,
the
man.
Holidays. Right? If you got one teenager, one poor kid.
Yeah, I couldn't even be mad at any of them because I looked at them. I'm like, man, I feel bad. You're working some retail job for like $10 an hour. I feel for you. If you are working or you got some odd hours, hang in there and hope you're enjoying the rest of what's left of Thanksgiving. About an hour and a half left, Domati. $10:35 on Thanksgiving night. Hope you had a great holiday. I'm Kevin Powell.
I'm Domati Pungo.
It's been a blast hanging with you guys. Started at 9. We go till 11. And the great Patty Vasquez in her normal shift. She'll be on from 11 to 2. Looking forward to seeing Patty. Esmeralda's in the traffic booth. She's slept a grand total of like 30 minutes over the past 3 days. She's basically worked on every show over the past few days. Did you have time to get a Thanksgiving meal in or any like family time?
I did. Some friends of mine were having Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So I went to visit them.
So was it good? Everything go okay?
Yeah, it was delicious.
Yeah.
I had a good meal.
So you especially probably needed a nap after that big meal.
I did, yes.
So Domati and I started the show. Like we didn't want to really get into political talk, of course, but like politics right now have totally, and Ryan, I'm not sure, like, bring you in on this conversation as well. Like, politics have worked their way into every corner of our lives, right? Because normally there's just the politics that are politics that you hear about and dread when anybody brings them up at the dinner table, especially during the holidays. Now, you can't really talk about sports because, like, there's the angry uncle who's like, ah, these damn kids are kneeling during the anthem. Forget them. I'm not watching it. And then there's Hollywood. You can't really talk about movies with your uncle, your aunt, or your cousins because they're all like, screw Hollywood. They're a bunch of perverts. I don't have any time for them.
Like, so at your dinner table this year, Esmeralda, did you have to deal with any uncomfortable conversations?
Yeah, like did anybody go over that line where you're like, please don't, please don't, please don't. And then someone goes there and you're like, damn it.
Fortunately not.
Good.
One, I didn't see my family, but we're all pretty much on the same page.
Okay.
And friends as well. We're all on the same page.
Okay.
You did the Friendsgiving thing? You didn't?
I did the Friendsgiving thing. My parents abandoned me. I'm not bitter at all. They decided to stay at home and not come visit me.
Where's home
I
for
been
Esmeralda?
Working. Joliet.
Oh, okay.
So they decided to stay and make a turkey. They did invite me, but I could probably only, you know.
Joliet is beautiful this time of year.
Sure.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, those casinos, those flashing lights, the prisons, it's gorgeous.
The prisons.
It's a gorgeous city right now.
Ryan, how about you? Any uncomfortable conversations at the dinner table?
Yeah, but it's mainly like health related and future plans. Nothing political involved.
Okay, well, like,
what do you mean health related though? What was going on? Did you have a vegetarian, a vegan there?
No. Just things about living situations, moving forward, the ability to drive. You get to a point in your life and you got to start making some decisions for older people. Let's just put it that way.
And they don't want it.
It's tough. Yeah, they're going to fight it, and it's, but sometimes these decisions have to be made.
Well, it sounds like politics, surprisingly, just from like the small sample size
this
we've taken, Domati, that like I think maybe people made a conscious effort this year to really keep politics out of it.
That's good.
Because in my family dinner, there are certainly some people who have opposing differences. You know, you got like the crazy uncle, you got the hippie cousins that came in from Montana for the weekend. You got, you know what I mean? Like,
the hippie cousins
like
from Montana.
Very opposing, very opposing viewpoints. But I didn't hear Trump's name come up until like 20 minutes before I left. And like when it was brought up, everyone was like, "Yeah, whatever," you know. Like,
yeah,
it didn't spark anything.
And that's a good thing to see, because there was studies coming out a few months ago about how polarizing, how friendships have ended, or how
it's just crazy.
I mean,
man.
Yeah, they were really. I mean,
like, people hate each other. Like if you voted for Hillary or if you voted for Trump, like people who used to be like cordial friends, like I hate you now.
But I'll say this. Ryan brought this up just talking about just aging family members and what those conversations are like. This Thanksgiving was difficult in a way, but also special for me. I lost a close family member, my mom's brother, my favorite uncle. He passed away in June, just a few weeks, a week or two after my birthday.
Wow.
And a few weeks after I started here. So I had this big up, and then that happened. So this was the first Thanksgiving without him around.
And it's normally at his house,
and
right?
It's normally
that's
at his
tough,
home.
Man.
He has the big home where we are, and his is the home base for how we do. So this year, Thanksgiving, before I went to my sister's house, I went to my cousin's house, his son, and just had a conversation with him. And I was just thinking, I'm just thankful for the fact that we have a close-knit enough family that doesn't feel alone in this time.
That's good.
You know, and even as Ryan brought it up, just as we, you know, if you've got those family members, even that aunt that gets on your nerve and that uncle that's a curmudgeon, that grandfather, just, you know, just appreciate the time that you have with them while they're here. And if they're gone, appreciate the time you had with them, especially this year. So I just wanted to get that piece out.
Yeah, you were telling me about that off the air. And, yeah, that's a good point because, like, for me, it's been nothing but – like joyous and you know, it's been great. Like my sister's getting married this weekend, so it's like
beautiful.
A full like week in it. I actually loved it because when they booked, they're like, okay, should we book it on Thanksgiving weekend? But like now that it's here, I absolutely love it because it's felt basically like this week-long celebration with the entire family. You know, we had the rehearsal dinner last night. We had Thanksgiving. We're all together. Tomorrow, we're kind of all kind of be together. And then Saturday, everyone. I mean, it's going to be almost 300 people at this wedding. So, but that, you know, that's a good point. Like, you know, I'm sitting here like how much I love it and holidays are great and all. But like it can be a sentimental, like bittersweet time of the year for a lot of people who are like, man, first holiday without so-and-so or so-and-so.
Yes,
so
yes. And so, but in turn, I'm actually thankful for it because it was a smaller Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now, instead of at uncle's, it was at my sister's. And it was just a few of us. It was about maybe 10.
A little different from what you used to.
Yeah, but you know, and I got there at an odd time because you know I had to get there early and then wait, and all, it was just weird to make sure I made it in time for work. So I didn't get to see everyone, but it was sometimes those more intimate settings are good for family. You know?
I like that. So what's Domati Pongo's family parties normally like, or like specifically Thanksgiving? Are you guys like big tradition people? Like for my family, we don't like have specific traditions other than the fact that we all get together, we all like, you know, eat some delicious food and things like that. Do you guys have like any weird little, like not weird, but like little unique things you guys do or not?
You know what? This is what's really interesting about being having like African culture and my family. Both my parents are from Ghana, West Africa. So one thing's, but my sisters and I were all raised on the south side of Chicago. I was south suburbs for half my life. And we get the best of both worlds in the kitchen. So you've got one set of, you know, your stuffing, your turkey, your normal dishes.
Yeah.
Then you also have your African dishes.
Okay.
Fufu, soup, jollof rice, yams.
So what's some of the the African food and a cuisine you eat? Explain it to me, because I'll eat any kind of food, man. If it's good, I'm eating it.
So there's a war going on right now between West Africans from different countries about which country makes the best version of jollof rice. Jollof rice is a rice that's kind of made in a tomato stew. It can have meat in it, have peas and carrots and beans in it.
Okay.
But it's a type of rice. It's a dish. It started in Senegal, but they make it in Ghana and in Nigeria. And so anytime I see my Nigerian friends, we're talking about who makes the best jollof rice.
That's the trash talking?
That's the trash talk. That's how it goes. It's like New York and Chicago with pizza.
Gotcha.
And so that we have that, and then you got this dish called fufu. Fufu is it's a starch. It's a thick consistency. It's almost like mashed potatoes, but a bit tougher. And you dip it in soup. The soup can be can have fish in it, or chicken in it, or beef, or oxtails. So good, Kevin.
I love it, man. Yeah, see, I guess for mine too, it's like centered around food. I'm Polish, so like a lot of times we'll have, you know, your traditional food, but then like a plate of kielbasa and some pierogies on the side. So that's like the flair of our heritage, I guess you can call it.
That
but
awesome.
Normally it is Thanksgiving is basically what it was this year was what it was pretty much every year. We eat a ton of food, we all sit around the couch after and unbutton a couple notches on our belts and watch football. So you're not a Domiti Pongo is not a fan of the sports world, correct?
I'm not a sports guy.
Never been.
Unfortunately.
Did you ever play sport? Because you look athletic. Like, would you never played or anything?
Played football.
Did you?
And I played basketball. Let me tell you how good I was at basketball.
Let's hear it.
I was so good, I got the coach's award for best effort. That's actually terrible. I got the coach's award for you tried really hard.
Right. Like there's the MVP, the leading scorer, the best defender. Like, hey, man, thanks for trying hard.
Yes, exactly. And I went home one day. When I came home from college, my mom had my plaque that I won on the wall. And I'm like, Ma, that's not a good award. She was like, no, you won it for basketball. It's like, no, it wasn't good. Then I played football in high school.
Okay.
But I was I played cornerback, but I wasn't bad. But I'm one of those people who, if I can't be the best at it.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I'm
not even interested. Right. I need to piece out and figure out how to be the best at something.
I like that.
Yeah, I left that piece. Now, did you play sports?
Yeah.
You're a baseball guy, right?
Yeah, I played baseball up until high school. High school, it was all my life was just football, man. I wrestled and played football, but it was football. What position do you think I played, Domiti?
Let me see.
What do I look like to you?
So your personality tells me quarterback.
Okay, I like that.
Yes, but
that's funny you say that. All right,
but your build almost tells me fullback.
Yeah, I get that a lot, like fullback. So I was like a guard, offensive lineman.
You were a lineman
and a defensive tackle. So this is about 50 pounds ago, Domiti.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a heavier guy.
Oh, big boy. Still am a big boy, but that was really, really big.
No, you're fit. It's big and fit.
Yeah, you know, I could carry an extra few pounds, LBs. I could kill a few LBs, Domiti.
So tell me this now with football, when we think about Hall of Fame talk, right? I've been hearing a lot of basketball Hall of Fame talk going on.
Yeah.
Do you think linemen get their best that they just do?
I think certain positions on the offensive line do, particularly the left tackle position, which is probably your most important position on the offensive line, because their job is to protect the blind side of the quarterback. And today's NFL, the most important position, well, really the most important position of all of sports, sorry, I'm going to go on a little sports tangent here, Domiti, is the quarterback position. I mean, look at the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers goes down. Call it a season. You're done. You got Brent Hundley coming in there who somehow pulled a miracle out of his you-know-what. And, I guess the Bears sort of gave that one away. They screwed that up, but then Brent Hundley gets shut out. He throws three picks against Baltimore. So the most important position in sports is the quarterback position. That one, and especially the way the game is designed now between, offensive rules that are put in place and things that protect the quarterback. It is by far the most important position in sports. So
gotcha.
I would say that for the most part, though, Domiti, like the lineman mindset has to be, you're just going to do your work. You're going to do your job. No one's really going to give a damn,
right?
You know, because like the running back's going to score. You learn that from when you first start playing football. There's always the big, like, groggy, like, lineman coach. He's like, listen, kids, you know, you're going to get no glory. You're going to do all the rough work. You're going to get bruised up, beat in this line, but you're not going to get any love. And like, so you have that mindset. But that's funny you say quarterback, because when I played, you know, me and my friends would always play like backyard football, go to the park, play football one-on-one, always quarterback.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I am not playing unless I'm quarterback. But my, like, that didn't really, my, like, I always wanted to play quarterback, but, you know, I was a lineman. It just didn't translate to actual organized football.
Now, have you ever anchored news, though? Have you ever been a news? I'm not a sports guy.
Yeah.
To what degree are you a news junkie?
I absolutely am, because I think, like, sports personalities that I've come to like over the years, whether it's a newspaper columnist, a guy who blogs, a radio host, guy on TV, you can tell the good ones are ones who have perspective.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, sports, some people dismiss sports and like, ah, sports are stupid, blah, blah, blah. But there's like a lot of, like a part of it is like the stereotype, yeah, I just want to watch a game and, you know, eat some wings and drink beer and watch a game. But a lot of it, like there is...
There's a lot of intersectionality because these players are people.
Yeah, there's that. And, you know, I just think if you understand what's going on in the world, you have like a different perspective on the sports world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like sports isn't as simple as, oh, it's just sports, because it's, you know, like a lot of it is guys really, I know it's going to sound cliche and corny, but like that's what it is. I love about sports is that it is like a whole unit coming together, and there's a lot that goes into it, right? It's like right. Somebody puts on a football game, they don't know much about it. Like, oh, look at these big dumb idiots just smacking their heads together. There's a lot that goes in. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of like real emotion that goes into sports. So, like, yeah. I appreciate that, but I think when you just have a perspective on overall the landscape of the world, I think it helps with when I narrow it down to sports. I feel like I can just find different angles, and it's like, of course, I just want to know what's going on in the world. So, like, when I first started in radio, I did news anchoring, I did sports anchoring, I did all that. I mean, it was always more of like, I was always doing mostly sports stuff, but I have anchored the news, and I always, you know, as a kid, believe it or not, I'm a millennial, Domati, but I absolutely grew up reading a physical newspaper, and I still do. And I used to run out to driveway, grab the Daily Herald, because of the Northwest Burb kids, of course, we got the Herald, and I would always just grab the sports section, right? And then, uh-huh. Read the sports section, maybe read a thing here or there. And as I started really got serious about the radio stuff and I started working here, I used to like go into one of our editing bays or one of our studios up on the seventh floor, and I would just kind of like be alone. This is when I first started producing, and it was all I was, you know, sports, 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 sports. I'm like, okay, this isn't a sports station. So I had to have like a good perspective as a producer for booking guests and things like that. So what I started doing, I would force myself to read, and it wasn't really forcing because I was interested anyways. But yeah. I would read, you know, the news section.
The news section of the paper.
And then I would like, okay, Kevin, you got to read this, and then your reward is the sports. You know, like that was my cherry on top of it all. So that's how I try to make sure that I'm staying on top of everything. That was a very long answer to your question of, do I follow news?
It's awesome. It's awesome. You know what I mean? It's a good tip for guys, though, as you transition to other areas. Listen, the way the economy is working now, you're not asked to do, especially the news industry has evolved so much, you're not asked to do just one job that you come in to do. So you have to be able to connect, find different tentacles to connect to what it is that you're interested in. When I started, I was a program director for this internet radio station called WindyCityUnderground.com. It was music-based. I was into news more so than music. Music was funner.
Yeah.
I got to meet celebrities and do that whole thing. But I was into that a lot more. But I said, what can I do to apply to music that I apply the news and the level of research and getting to know artists? It's all goes hands in hand. So it's to your point, and it transcends so many different industries.
Yeah, the media landscape is the scary one, but it's you're right, man. I mean, everything basically overlaps nowadays. It really does. So. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful day. I know I did. I got to spend time with family and friends and eat a ton of food. And then I got to come here, WGN, and host with the great Domati Pongo. I've gotten to know you quite a bit here, Domati. We started the show where we were kind of interviewing each other, and it wasn't to be self-serving. It was simply because, well, if we're going to host a show together, let's learn about each other a little bit.
Well, let's do it like my mom would say, serve yourself.
Let's
be self-serving.
There you go. Ourselves. It was a fun show. The great Patty Vasquez is working on the holidays. She'll be in at just about 5-10 minutes or so after the news, and stay tuned for that. Thank you to our guests. Who do we have? Seth Zurer, Bacon Fest Chicago. Maybe it's not till April, Bacon Fest, by the way. Bacon Fest is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Domati, I still have dreams about this cheddar bacon, like saute a guy was doing, where he essentially had like just cheese curds and bacon on a pan and was just kind of like frying it up and stirring it together. Anyways, Bacon Fest is awesome. We had Seth Zurer on because they have a drooling, wipe the drool on. They have a Cyber Monday deal. This is a great idea for a gift. I know you're going to hear that a million times, but I think it's an awesome deal because it's like an event. It's fun. It's a ticket to Bacon Fest. They have a deal, Cyber Monday, BaconFestChicago.com. And then
we got a surprise guest, actually. My man Todd Belcourt called
Todd Belcourt.
And he told us about this project, and I just found the flyer, sent it to me on social media, where they're doing a Chicago winter drive where they're looking for items for the less fortunate. So whether you're old sweatshirts, gloves, hats, scarves, gently used winter coats. They have different drop-off spots where you can donate this stuff. The Silver Room in Hyde Park you can give it to. If you're up north, you can go to Monarch Thrift Shop, 2866 North Milwaukee. And more information on that whole project is at oneheartonesoul.org. That's the number one, heart, number one, soul.org. And if you want to give this holiday season, you definitely can. And we had a scheduled guest.
Yes, Lyndon B. Jackson, who's got a really great app that you introduced me to, and it's perfect for this time of year.
Yeah, Panacea Financial. The app, he was the winner of the Neighborhood Start Fund by Google and Lupe Fiasco, and gave us really was an inspiring interview, actually.
Lyndon came in here and made us look bad, Domati. He's 24 years old, and he's like saving the entire universe. So,
and we're like bacon.
Yeah, we're women. Bacon. How do we date women and eat bacon?
Football.
Football. That's how Domati and I started the show, and then Lyndon comes in, and he's like designing stuff that's incredible. So,
just an amazing guy. And the app is about making it a way for people who are receiving welfare benefits like SNAP benefits or use EBT cards to purchase their foods. They can check their balances on this app the same way you check your Chase bank balance or whatever bank you
really
use.
Really cool. First of its kind. So great to meet Lyndon. I did start the show earlier because this is time of year where everyone wants to give back, and there's charities and there's events. And Roe's going to be on Friday. We have Toys for Tots right outside the studio here. If anybody's downtown, you work downtown, you want to drop off some gifts, Toys for Tots going to be in Pioneer Court right next to our studio here on Michigan Avenue, off our WDG and our studio. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So there's a lot of stuff like that going on. So
awesome.
I said, WGN, we're your platform for the next 2 hours. So a couple people have texted in just some causes, whether they're year-round or whatever. But PawChicago.org, somebody wanted to plug. Obviously, a lot of people have heard of Paw Chicago. It's basically we can go adopt dogs and cats and things like that. TCA.org, which we asked for elevator pitches, and this is what we got. TCA raises and distributes money to charitable organizations in the thoroughbred retirement, something you may not think about quite a bit, but retraining, research, backstretch, and therapeutic riding programs. So a lot on the show. Awesome. We knew it was going to fly by. 847 says Happy Thanksgiving, WGN, and they sent us a nice note, Domati. We don't have to read it and on the air, but it's very nice, and we appreciate
it.
847.
Thank you, 847.
Yeah, very nice. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Any last words from Domati Pongo on this on our little Thanksgiving holiday special here?
I'll let number 406 get the last word. She said, "My dad," he or she said, "My dad is 79. And I kept thinking it might be the last Thanksgiving with him. I listened to every word he spoke." And that's just a sweet note.
It is.
You have many more Thanksgivings with him. He's 79 years young. So a happy Thanksgiving to him, you, and your entire family.
And happy Thanksgiving to you, Domati. And Shantae behind the glass, you're working on the holidays. You're killing it, Shantae. You're super helpful tonight. You can't do it without the producers. They are
they're amazing. Thank you to Esmeralda Leon for doing traffic. To my man, Ryan Burrow, I will see you in the newsroom later on this week.
I got some assignments for you up here if you want some.